Your dreams, ambitions, and priorities are what make you unique. With Associated Bank Private Wealth, we've got you. Our personalized approach to wealth planning puts your goals at the center of your plan. Visit associatedbank.com/privatewealth. Member FDIC.
We're on with Dan Barron, Senior Vice President in the Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank. Dan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Steve.
I want to focus on a couple things today. A little bit later, we'll talk about the office vacancy rate in Chicago. But first, let's start with the interest rates. The Federal Reserve Chairman says the time has come for the Fed to cut interest rates. Does that mean September will be an interest rate cut month?
I'm certainly hoping so, Steve. I think it's long overdue, and I think it's very good news. I think a lot of people, both in commercial real estate, residential real estate, anyone with a credit card or anyone with a mortgage, anyone with a car payment has been waiting to hear for 2 years. I think the market is expecting, about 100 basis point rate cuts through the end of this year, which would be extremely welcome from all those people I've mentioned. The Fed has policy meetings in September, November, and December. There's been a lot of talk about hopefully a 50 basis point rate cut next month, which would be a huge cut for the Fed to take, and it'd be very warmly received. I think if the Fed really has to act, and they have to do it still this year, if they keep the rates elevated for too long, they can have some negative effects, and that's what they're starting to see. That's what's starting to push some of the Fed policymakers into the rate cuts now is not just the inflation reducing back towards 2%, but the negative effects on the labor market and the risk of tipping the economy into a recession is really force the Fed's hand in looking at enacting these rate cuts.
Dan, what's the betting? Is it a quarter point? I've heard some people say maybe a half point in September, and then would we expect a couple more rate cuts this year before the end of the year?
I think there's kind of a split thought on what's going to happen in September. My guess is 25 basis points in September. I think possibly 50 in November and maybe another 25 in December. So it really depends on what, the Fed keeps saying they're going to follow what the data tells them. And, hopefully I think they're going to want to taper the rates as delicately as possible. And by doing that, I think they probably don't want to come out of the gate right away next month with 50 basis points in cuts. I think they're going to do 25 basis points. Hopefully the market reacts pretty well. I don't know what the right terminology is. I don't know. Hopefully the job market stays maybe a little negative, maybe flat. That might, increase the likelihood of a 50 basis points in November. And I think 100 basis points cut would be a possibly aggressive, but, that's what some people are expecting. It would be great, but that's kind of just my hopeful idea is 25 in September, 50 November, and maybe 25 more in December.
Dan, you mentioned how everyday Americans with high interest rates on their credit cards and mortgages and auto loans and stuff will start seeing a little bit of relief. But lowering of interest rates will also be good for the business community. Talk about how it would impact small businesses in the short term and in the long term as well.
Yeah, I mean, all businesses, particularly small businesses, they borrow money to operate their business. They have lines of credit. They have, they could even have commercial mortgages on their business locations. And reducing the interest rates just reduces their borrowing costs. I just took a quick look. If, even for, let's say, $1 million residential mortgage, if you get 100 basis points reduction in your interest rate, that's a full percentage point. That's going to save you $10,000 in interest alone in the first year. I think that's when you boil it down, 25 basis points, 50 basis points, 100 basis points, when people understand what it costs in interest, that 100 basis points, like I said, is $10,000 a year on a $1 million mortgage in the first year. So I think if you can reduce those costs the small business owners especially will be able to divert that money that they'd be paying in interest to now, you know, back into their business, into their inventory, into their employees. And, you know, that's, I think, just a huge benefit for the economy and something that will really help push the economy and really achieve what the Fed's been hoping for, is to have this soft landing, right? Where they don't want to aggressively raise interest rates or keep them high for too long and tip the economy into a recession. They keep calling it a soft landing. And I think if they start to taper the rates now, the labor market showed some signs of cracking. And if they can reduce the rates, hopefully that cracking doesn't get too large and they're able to save some of these small businesses and some of these even larger businesses from laying off further people. And, you know, with the rate cuts, hopefully these businesses will be able to realize that those extra costs to kind of shore up their balance sheets and keep their businesses afloat.
Let's switch gears a little bit here and talk about the office vacancy rate in Chicago. We've talked about this in the past. The vacancy rate still is pretty high. I think it was up to 22% in the second quarter of this year, from 21% in the first quarter. But there are some signs that there might be a rebound happening. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think people are really starting to get excited. I'm maybe not necessarily excited for office right now, but I think we might be at kind of that tipping point, the inflection point, when the vacancy rate's starting to flatten out and rental rates starting to flatten out, right? Rents aren't going down. Vacancy rate isn't increasing. I think, there's some haves and have-nots in the office scenario right now. Class A buildings are outperforming Class B and C buildings because they're able to draw those large blocks of tenants that are paying big amounts of rent, and they can they're signing new leases. They offer all the amenities, and some of the Class B and C buildings don't have the drawing power. They don't have the amenities, and they're not going to be able to attract high profile or even large block spaces for tenants. But where we stand now, I think it's been 4 years, right? 4.5 years since the pandemic. I think a lot of those leases, the office leases are 5 to 10 years. A lot of those have rolled since the pandemic. Or if a company has evaluated their space needs, they'll put a lot of that office space up for sublease. So I think a lot of that vacant space that we were expecting to come on the market has come on the market. And, the sublease space is now starting to dwindle a little bit. So that number is coming down as well. I think there's a couple of reasons for that. People are starting to understand their space needs. People have since, kind of demanded office workers back to the, back downtown, back to the office buildings. And that's really going to help stabilize where the office market is now.
You talked about some of the vacancies and some of the subleasing that's going on. What about new construction of office space? Is that happening, or has that been pulled back, or are we seeing signs that might start again?
No, that'll be, I think, near zero for quite a while. There is a lot of office space. I mean, it's going to take some time for all the office space, even the newer office space that's coming online, to be fully absorbed. There's not a lot of capital, be it equity or debt, that's really interested in financing construction of a new office building. If there's some pre-lease involved, and certainly that's absolutely on the table, but, speculative office building with, 50 or 60% that could be vacant at groundbreaking is just not overly appetizing really for anybody at this point, because there is so much office space left to lease. I think just the opposite is happening, Steve, and I think that's what's kind of hidden in these vacancy numbers and really rent numbers, is the redevelopment of, call it, obsolete office buildings, right? Like LaSalle Street, they're going to redevelop old office buildings into multifamily buildings. So what that does is it takes that, let's call it, million square feet of obsolete office out of the office market entirely. So that really artificially reduces the vacancy rate by that million square feet. That's why we have positive net absorption in the last quarter of 24. So by doing that, you can pull out old obsolete office buildings, convert that to multifamily, you drive more activity down to the loop, and you let the new businesses that are starting or growing into new the currently available office space. And once we get to the point where all that space, or not all, but a majority of that space is absorbed and the vacancy rate starts coming down from the 20s into the teens, into the, you know, the low double-digit numbers, that's when office vacancy or office development will start again. But I don't see that happening for probably another 4 to 5 years is my guess.
And interest rates might help with that. Lower interest rates might help with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you do want to develop something, even if you want to do the redevelopment of, you know, the office buildings on LaSalle Street, having reduced interest rates reduces the borrowing cost, reduces the overall cost. It makes these deals, or allows these deals now to pencil, where, you know, attainable or sustainable rents will be able to, you know, service the debt on a lower borrowing cost with the reduced interest rates. So, yeah, I think reduced interest rates is going to really help drive, hopefully what might be an office revitalization in the next, 5 to 6 years.
And probably one of the bigger things that you touched on it briefly, but it's one that I don't think we've gone into a lot, is more and more employees are being required to go back to the office. And that's probably going to be a trend that even picks up during the beginning of next year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, we've talked about this for a long time, Steve. You know, it's been an experiment. I think it's worked for a lot of companies. It hasn't worked for some. But most of these companies are starting to realize what works and doesn't work for them, because they've had a long time, a long runway to figure out what it is best for their company and for their employees. And if, you know, people are nervous about their job or nervous about losing their job or, you know, succeeding and growing in their job, if the, you know, the people who are in an office are going to be getting those promotions and getting those raises, getting that more exposure, then I think people are going to be willing to come back into the office. And I think, it's been playing out for quite a while now. And, once the companies all figure out what works best for them, they'll get to a point where everyone's comfortable with how they're working and the office market can stabilize. But you know, it's been a long time. It's been a good time for younger generations to, you know, as they're coming into the workforce, if they have a little more flexibility, people with young kids are able to work from home a few days a week. I think that's great for each business to evaluate how they want to handle their workforce.
Dan, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Thanks, Steve. They can always email me, daniel.barons@associatedbank.com, or call my office, 312-544-4657.
All right, Dan, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.